topic is brother hating brother, healing the heart, understanding sinat chinam and its rectification. Let me begin with two true stories. A number of years back, it was Yom Ha'atzma'ut. I was davening at the Kotel for a mincha, and person who was davening after he davened mincha, after he finished the Shemoneh Esrei, he sat down to say Tachanun. Immediately, there were others, you know, at the Kotel. Anyone can join the minyan that they want. There were some others there who, obviously, this was Yom Ha'atzma'ut, you don't say Tachanun, and got up and started screaming, and it almost came to fistfights. Sinat Chinam. A more recent story. There was a group of religious Jews who were touring up north, and they wanted a place to daven. I don't want to characterize them by any label, but let's just say they were far more to the right and were not believers in the Medina. And they were davening, and they asked permission to daven at a certain shul. And the shul happened to be a chardal, a dati le'umi shul. And of course, they gave them permission. This was in the papers not long ago. And they used the shul a few times. And when the other balabatim came back to the shul, they noticed that the sidurim, that the pages which dealt with the tefillah l'shalom hamedina had been torn out. Sinat chinam. One of my colleagues, respected and well-known Rav in the United States, tells the story that he and his wife visited the Medina after the Six-Day War, and came at the beginning of August for the first Tisha B'Av after the Six-Day War. And he says that he was davening with Rav Goren in his minyan in the evening, and as every Tisha B'Av, they sat down, Rav Goren chanted Eicha, and then they began the few kinos that we all said last night. After the first kina, people started getting up and they started walking out of shul, and they didn't stay for the end. Clearly, in the wake of the Six-Day War, the euphoria of the Six-Day War, many, many religious Jews felt, how can we sit down on the floor, and how can we mourn, and how can we observe Tisha B'Av? I mean, the exhilaration of HaKotel Biyadeinu was enough to make, apparently, this was a religious community, many people to feel that maybe there wasn't so much sense about sitting down and saying kinas. So my friend was a bit perturbed by what he saw. He felt it wasn't right, even though, of course, everyone was caught up in the excitement. But it only came expression, he says, about a year later, a year after the Six-Day War, when at a rabbinic convention, my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal gave a discussion and addressed the topic head on. And basically said that as much as we appreciate and recognize the nisim and niflaos that took place during the Six-Day War, we are still obligated to observe Tisha B'Av, to sit on the floor, and to cry and to say kinos. One does not obviate the need for the other. Why is that so? So Rav Soloveitchik said that Tisha B'Av is unlike the other Ta'anios. It's unlike the other fast days. Tisha B'Av, he says, is a Yom Avelut. Rav Soloveitchik didn't make that up. It's a Gemara in Yevamos, where Tisha B'Av is called Avelus Yeshana. It's the old and ancient Avelus. Why do you mourn? What is mourning all about? God forbid, Chas V'Shalom, when we mourn, it's because we lost somebody. Someone is gone. Someone very beloved is no longer with us. So let me ask you, ladies, if Tisha B'Av is a Yom Avelut, if it's a day of mourning, we also lost something. What did we lose? Rav Soloveitchik said, we lost everything. Everything. The Beis HaMikdash, that was the least of it. That was the least of it. What we lost was the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our midst. Nothing short of that. We just read in the Haftarah of Yirmiyahu, where the Navi laments and says, Hashem, Hashem ein b'tzion? I mean, God is not here anymore? And the answer is, no, he's not here. And there are Gemaras to prove it. Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us, and this is the whole story behind the Ma'ase HaMerkava, with the chariot that Yechezkel sees. Where was the chariot going? The chariot was leaving. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was leaving. Who banished him? We did. The Gemara speaks about the 10 steps HaKadosh Baruch Hu took, the Shekhinah took. It was in the Kodesh Kedoshim by the Keruvim. It moves away, on top of the wall, outside the wall, further and further away. Hashem is called, the Navi says, Hashem is a Keil Mistater. Hashem went into hiding. Hester Ponim. We're all familiar with that idea. And then the Gemara in Brachos, which tells us, Miyom Shecharav Beis HaMikdash, Nifseka Chomas Barzel Ben Yisrael La'avim Shebashamayim. That with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, you heard of the Iron Curtain? It was another Iron Curtain. An iron wall separated us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's all because we told him to leave. How did we tell him to leave? We banished him because, as the Gemara tells us, we were guilty of the sin of Sinas Chinam. Via Sinas Chinam, we were telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu to leave. And my purpose this morning in the time that we have is to try to see if we can understand what is Sinas Chinam? What makes it so pernicious? Why is it so ubiquitous? It's around us all the time. Why don't we take it seriously? So let's begin our discussion with the Gemara, which tells us, the Gemara in Yuma, again it's on the source sheet, Avol Mikdash Sheni Shel Yuoskin B'Toru V'Mitzvos Gemilas Chasadim. In Bayis Sheni, the Jewish people were very frum. They were very frum. They were Tamidei Chachamim. They were Chasidim. They were Gomlei Chasadim. Does it get any better than that? And yet, because they were guilty of sin aschinam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. The Smak, the Sefer Mitzvahs Katan, says it is alluded to in the Rashi Tevos of the first six words in Eicha. Eicha Yashva Vodad. So the Smak says it's the Rashi Tevos of Eva Ra'ah. A terrible hatred. What was the Eva Ra'ah? Sinas Chinam. And the Smak spells it out for us. He says, you want to know why there's no Beis HaMikdash today? Because with the first Beis HaMikdash, we were responsible for the big three sins of Shvichas Domim and Gilui Arayus and Avodah Zarah. But after 70 years, apparently, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave us. The Gemara discusses why in Yuma. And we had another Beis HaMikdash. But now that the second Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, we're still living in that terrible shadow of Churban. Why? Because the sin for which the second temple was destroyed apparently has not been atoned for. We're still guilty of it. And of course the converse is that if we knew how to rectify sin aschinim, if we understood it properly, then our hope is that there would be the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's basically what I'd like to see if we can discuss it a little bit. I'd just like to, just to point out how ever-present this cloud of Sinas Chinam is. There's an interesting halacha, and you probably noticed it, because the Shulchan Aruch tells us that we're not allowed to greet people on Tisha B'Av, certainly throughout the whole day. The Shulchan Aruch says, Ein she'la shalom lechaveiro betes va'ov. We're not allowed to greet people. So when people came in the morning, if someone didn't say hi and how are you and ma'nishma and so on, that's the appropriate thing to do. In fact, Rabbanim were advised to tell the Balabatim, look, so no one should be insulted, tell the Balabatim before Tisha B'Av that when they leave shul, they shouldn't be insulted if no one greets them and no one says hello. It's very important to say hello. Not today. Not today. So why? So the simple answer would be, we have a halach in Yoredeya, brought down in Gemara and Moed Katan, that when someone is in mourning, what happens, chas v'shalom, when you have to pay a shiva call? What's the halach? Are you allowed to start talking? You're not allowed to start talking. You have to wait for the other. If the other chooses not to talk, you don't talk. There is quiet. There is no greeting. The other is not allowed to greet anyone. We are in a posture of avelus today. And as such, we're not allowed to greet. But I'd like to say, perhaps, the Aniyus Daiti, another reason. There's an interesting mission in the third Perek in Sanhedrin that says, what is the dictionary definition of a sone? Someone who hates you, or someone that you hate. What's the how do you demonstrate it? Do you know what the Mishnah says? You ignore the person for 3 days in a row, and it's clear that you're ignoring the person because you don't like them. That's all you're doing. You're not saying anything. You're not getting angry. You're just ignoring them, what we used to call in elementary school, you know, the silent treatment, for 3 days. This is a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. A Mishnah in Sanhedrin. And that is the definition of a sone. So what I'd like to suggest is perhaps that on Tisha B'Av, all of us are feigning, we're acting as if sinas chinam is among us. We don't greet each other. It's as if we're looking upon everyone with the image of a sone, because we need to remember that this is the cardinal reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So we're feigning it. We're acting as if we don't like anybody. We're not going to say hello to anybody. Because we need to be reminded in a very stark way of how terrible sinas chinam is. And, you know, and what it could do. You may be familiar with the halacha. Who gets the first aliyah in shul? The kohen. That's not true. Take a look at the Gemara, the Mishnah in Gittin. And the Mishnah tells us that true, the Kohen gets the first Aliyah, but only Mishum Darkei Shalom. Only because we don't want to start any fights. What's the alternative if the Kohen doesn't get the first Aliyah? The one who ideally should get the first Aliyah, the Gemara says, is the biggest Talmud Chacham in Shul. Whoever is the biggest Talmud Chacham in Shul, that person should get the first Aliyah even before the Kohen. That's Al Pi Din. But what's the problem, ladies? We come into shul and they give Yankel the first Aliyah, and I say, Yankel, what about who was Yankel? And of course, what begins to generate? What begins to, as they say in Yiddish, to koch? The sinas chinam. So here Chazal said we're gonna let the Kohen get the first Aliyah so that we can avoid this issue. I have so many other examples where al pi halacha, where the poskim, out of fear for generating sinas chinam, almost modified the halacha. I have to give you one more example. The Gemara in Brachos says, and brought that in Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Hayim, if you haven't seen a dear friend, shechaviv alecha, in a month, when you see them, you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to say, Shechiyana. Don't say Shechiyana. You haven't seen a close friend in a month. When you see them, you're supposed to say, B'Shemu Malchus, Shechiyana V'Kiyamana V'Gerlaz. Do we do that today? We don't. Why not? Because let's say a bunch of people come in and I say to Sarah, Shechiyana V'Kiyamana. What about me? How come she didn't say Shechiyana when she saw me? So the halak is your closest friend. Isn't she? I thought she and I were very, very close. She didn't say Shechiyana when she saw me after a month. So even though technically this is a Gemara in Shulchan Aruch, but what do you see? Because of the possibility of sinas chinam, the Gemara became something which was a letter of the law, but in terms of actual practice, it wasn't something. It wasn't something that we did. What is our issue with sinas chinam? I want to see if we can understand it a little bit. Do you know, ladies, that at times the Gemara says, Mutar l'sanoso, you're permitted to hate, and then Rav Nachman says, Mitzvah l'sanoso, there's a mitzvah to hate? I want to understand sin aschinam. Because the only way we can understand sin aschinam is if we understand the converse. We are unlike other religions. We don't turn the other cheek. And there is a mitzvah to hate. It says, mitzvah l'sanoso. And again, it's in the source sheet, but we have psukim. Yiras Hashem, sinos ra. Someone who fears Hashem will hate evil. As panav, yisne. Someone who's an azis panim, you're supposed to hate. You know, my problem is that I have the source sheet that they handed out was one which was not the revised one. So it's hard for me to hold on for 1 second. Here's the old one. Hold it. Okay. It would be the right. It would be on page 2 or the back of the first page. The quotes towards the top of the page. Okay, and I mean, it's clear from this psukim that it's a mitzvah to hate. The Sefer Achinuch, by the way, the Sefer Achinuch says that that we're obligated to hate when we come across something that's evil. I don't think you have it there, Avol, b'sinas ha-rishoyim ein bo iser. You're supposed to hate things that are evil. You're supposed to hate people who commit sins. So let's back up a second. Sinas chinam, to understand sinas chinam, what does chinam mean? That there is no justification for the hate. But there can be justification. Obviously, the converse also has to be true. So we are allowed to hate. How do we understand this? Isn't it a little dangerous to allow us to hate because maybe we won't be able to control it? And then let's ask another question about sinas chinam. And even if we hate, when we're not allowed to hate, isn't it a little bit of a stretch, in all honesty, to say, that's the reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Because, I mean, okay, so I hate it for no reason. It was needless hatred. For that reason, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Netziv comments in his introduction to Bereishis, and he says, because of Sinas Chinam, Kol Haro Sheba'olam occur. All the evils of the world. I can't connect the dots. I can't connect the dots. Look, how often do I demonstrate sinas chinam to begin with? I mean, what do I do? I mean, we need to ask ourselves, what do I do? Am I guilty? Am I guilty of sinas chinam? So I think what we said, not really. I mean, what do I do? Do I curse people? What do I do? Do I go around hurting people? I mean, how am I guilty of sin aschinam? And if I'm not guilty of it, then could it be that in the past they weren't guilty of it as well? Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? We need to understand exactly what sin aschinam is. So let's begin with perhaps one of the classic texts dealing with this issue of under what circumstances are we allowed to hate? And that text is the Gemara, it's on the back page there, beginning with line 16. Gemara in Pesachim. Now, this is a highly complex and sophisticated halachic topic, which of course we're not going to go into. We could spend a few hours just discussing this Gemara and the other Gemaras and the other Gemaras as well. The Marimbav Metzia and elsewhere, but I want to see if I can just adumbrate for you exactly what this Gemara is telling us. I need you to stay with me here. The Gemara says, let's read it quickly. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok, this is line 16, on page 2, Mutar L'sanoso. What is the case? The case is that Reuven saw Shimon doing something very bad. He saw him violating something in the Torah. You can pick it out. They're talking about Ben Adam L'Makom. He saw him Mechal Shabbos. He saw him eating treif. He saw him doing something which there's no doubt that what he was doing was wrong. So Rav Shmuel says, Mutol Sanos, you're allowed to hate him. Doesn't say exactly what this means. And he quotes a pasuk, Ki sirech amoros anachar aveitz tachas maso, masone, sone Yisrael. But how can you hate him? The Gemara says, after all, doesn't it say, Lo sisna sachicha bilvavecha, that you're not allowed to hate your brother in your heart? So the Gemara concludes, and now we're getting to line 19. So the Gemara says, the chazia bei iyu devar erva. The reason why you're allowed to hate a person is because you notice that he was doing, he or she was doing something biblically wrong. Devar erva, devar avera. And then we have the comment and says, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak mar mitzvah l'sanoso. Mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to hate. So that means, according to this, if we stop right here, that means that if you see someone being machal Shabbos, you're allowed to hate him. We haven't defined what does that mean? What do you mean you're allowed to hate him? What are you supposed to do? You're allowed to hit him over the head? What do you do? What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to, you know, go around and telling everyone, look what he did, this person, look what she did. What does it mean to hate? Stay with me. Tosfos comments, and Tosfos says, wait a second, I have a problem. The Gemara, Tosfos quotes the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Gemara in Bava Metzia says, if you come across two people, you come across a close friend who is unloading his donkey, and an enemy, someone who you don't like, why don't you like him? Because he was over Avera. He wasn't observing mitzvahs. And he is, and what is he doing? He is loading up his animal. Who are you supposed to help first? So he says, well, we have to be worried about the animal. We should help our friend first because he's unloading the animal. So the Gemara says, a Braisa there in Bava Metzia says, no, you have to help your enemy out first. You have to help your enemy. I thought your mitzvah l'sanos, you're supposed to hate him. Shouldn't you ignore him? What did we say about enemy? Someone that you stay away from. So the Tosfos comes up with an incredible idea. This is the genius of the Balei HaTov. Tosfos says, I don't care that you hate him. He says, you have to control Lochuf Etz Yitzro. You have to control your Yitzro. Yes, you want to hate him because he did some terrible averus. But you have to so to say, hold it in. Lochuf Etz Yitzro. You have to control your Yitzro and not say anything. And you have to go and help him anyway. You have to help him anyway. Why? Because if you don't help him and he knows you don't like him, what's going to happen? That hatred will begin to escalate. So he didn't help me, he doesn't like me, and then he'll help me, and I'll hate him more, and it'll end up, Tosfos says, into a sin of gemura, into a real deep hatred. So even Tosfos is saying, even if there are cases where it's a mitzvah to hate that person, a mitzvah, think of someone who's an apikaris, think of someone who is, who knows, someone who did something terrible, they intermarried, whatever. And you have this you want to let him have it. Lochuf Etz Yitzro. You have to help him out anyway. So based upon this Gemara, I want to see if I can distill some important principles that the Rishonim and the Achronim derive from this little source that I just quoted. Because again, like I said, it's very complicated. Here's what they say. They say that if there's someone you don't like, why don't you like them? If the only reason you don't like them is because you don't like the way they look, they remind you of someone you don't like, that's pure sinasim. Okay? That's not permitted. Let's notch it up a bit. What happens if the person insulted you? Better yet, what happens if the person owes you money? And they haven't paid you back yet. Have they done something wrong? They've done something wrong. Absolutely. The Ritva calls this Sina Ba'alma, and the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, when this is discussed in Koshe Mishpat in Reish Ayin Beis, says the same thing. Guess what? Even though the person did something wrong, they insulted you, they haven't paid you back the money, you're not allowed to treat them any differently. You have to show them respect. You have to help them. And if they ask you for money again, you're not supposed to refuse. Lo sikom velo sitar. We don't have time to do the sources, ladies. But the Sefer Achinuch specifically mentions you're not allowed to take revenge. Did they do something wrong? Yes. You want to take him to a Din Torah to get your money back? Absolutely, you can take him to a Din Torah. But to get even with them, to get even, they insulted me, I'll insult them. They didn't invite me, I won't invite them. Shades of Kamsan by Kamsan, right? Right? They didn't pay me back the money, I'm not going to lend them any more money. So you're not allowed to do that. Even though technically there would be a reason to hate, you cannot treat them any differently, even when you have a good reason. And now the third level, now I have even a better reason. They violated one of the major principles in the Torah. They're not keeping Shabbos, they're not keeping Kashrus. So the Rambam, and this Rambam I want to read. This is a very important Rambam. If it's here, right? Yes, the Rambam, if you turn the page on page 3, line 16, the Rambam says, and listen to this, and this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch brings this. Hasone shenem ad betaruhu miYisrael v'lom yim masaolam. Let's go to the underline. The afal pisha adayin lo osa tshuva. Even if someone is violating one of the big averis and they haven't done tshuva yet. They haven't done tshuva. Im mitzo nivo b'maso, if you see the person is having let's put it in contemporary terms, he's having monetary issues, monetary problems. He needs help. His animal needs to be unloaded or loaded. The lo yamichenu no telemus, you're not allowed to ignore him. Shema yishtaye b'shvil mamona v'yavu l'sakana. He'll be so worried about the money. You have to help him. You see he's in trouble. He has a flat tire. He needs help. You don't like him. And you don't like him for objective reasons. Why? The guy's Machal Shabbos. Right, the woman eats treifa. She doesn't care. She doesn't care about Yontif. They need help. The Rambam says, even if Afal Pisha Dayelo Osa Tshuva. They didn't even do tshuva yet. The Hatorik be there on the Foshus Yisrael Bein Rishon Bein Tzadikim Me'ach Hashem Nilvim El Hashem Amin Ebikar Adas. As long as they still consider themselves Jewish, they believe in God, we're not talking, right? So the Rambam says, what are you doing? I don't care if you have a reason. I don't care if you have a reason to hate. So what emerges in this, ladies? Okay? Sinas chinam is not just hating someone for no reason. But sinas chinam also means that even if I have a reason to hate somebody, I'm not allowed to express it. I have to hold it in. Lachufes yitzro. This is what the Gemara says, what Tosfa says, and this is what the Rambam says as well. Can there be an exception to that? Can there be an exception to this? So the answer is yes. There are certain people, in order to be completely honest about this, ladies, there are certain people who are so bad that we're allowed to actively blow the whistle on them. And you know who tells us we're allowed to do this? None other than one of the greatest, kindest tzaddikim that ever lived, namely the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim's works have not been translated into English as yet. This won't take you long to read. If you have the writings of the Chofetz Chaim, he wrote a monograph called Avas Yisrael. It's about 6 pages. The Hebrew is simple. Read it. It is one of the most incredible essays on Sinas Chinam and Shalom, written by the Chofetz Chaim himself. And the Chofetz Chaim there tells us what the parameters are. And by the way, the Chofetz Chaim discusses Sinas Chinam in the Shmiras HaLashon and other places as well. And he discusses it quite extensively. And here's what he says. And in fact, he even brings it down in Shulchan Aruch. Take a look at the source in page 3, line number 24. Right at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. So the Chofetz Chaim says that Someone mocks you, someone is treating you disrespectfully, ignore them. Says, but if you come across somebody who is actually being machtias harabim, the person is trying to mislead people, to try to draw people away from mitzvos, actively involved in an anti-Torah campaign, then what's your first step? You have to approach the person. You have to try to reason with the person. Do you know what you're doing? And if the person ignores you, the person defies and rejects any overtures of peace, then you're allowed to let people know what he's doing. But before we take advantage of that quote-unquote heter, not just to hate, but to act upon it, ladies, read the Chafetz Chaim very carefully, because he places so many restrictions on that. You have to make sure you hear it directly. You have to be so many restrictions that it's not going to be easy, even if legitimately you're allowed to hate someone, to do anything about it, even according to the Chafetz Chaim. Where have we gotten, ladies, so far? We're dealing with a lot of hate. Mutar l'sanos or mitzvah l'sanos. However, when push comes to shove, except with this one exception, the Chafetz Chaim says, someone who's machtias harabim, we're not allowed to express it. So when the Gemara says you're allowed to hate and I'm not allowed to express it, then how do I handle it? What am I supposed to do? So we have two classic answers to this. One answer is brought down by the Baal HaTanya. And if you want to know where Chabad Chasidus gets its drive for their sincere outreach, if you want to know where they get it from, they get it from the founder of Chabad. Of course, it's not that, this is not restricted to Chabad. I mean, everyone should feel comfortable doing this. And take a look at, on page 3, beginning with line, we're not going to read the whole thing, but let's say beginning with line 11. This is the Baal HaTanya, who makes an interesting comment. He says, "V'gam ha'mekurovim ein lo v'hochichom v'lo shavim me'avonosayim shemitzvah l'sanosam." He says, "What about those people who you rebuke and they still do not want to depart or reject their sins?" He says, "What he says, mitzvah l'sanosam, mitzvah l'avon." He says, "You have to hate them, you have to love them." And then he says, "Ushteim ein emes." How can you love and hate a person at the same time? So he says, "Sina mitzad harashe bohem, the ava mitzad v'chinas hatov hagonish bohem." Listen to this. Listen, this is a brilliance here, ladies. And you understand the Baal HaTanya. It was a brilliance. What was he saying? You don't hate them, but you hate the what they do. And what do you love about them? You love their inner essence. Haneshama shenasata bi. You love the potential holiness that they can become. Where did the Baal HaTanya get it from? I suspect he got it from the Gemara, or the Medrash about Rav Meir. Rav Meir had some neighbors who were causing him a great deal of agmas nefesh, and Rav Meir one day got up and cursed his neighbors. So his wife, Mrs. Rabbi Meir, the famous Bruria, she said, with all due respect to her husband, she said, that's incorrect. You're not allowed to curse these neighbors. And she quoted the pasuk from the Baruch Nafshi in Tehillim. It says, "Yitamu chatoim in haaretz." Right? She said, "Chatoim v'lo chotim." You're supposed to pray for the eradication of sin, not the sinner. Focus on the bad behavior, not on the person. So that's the Baal HaTanya's approach. When the Gemara says, if someone's doing something bad, it's a mitzvah to hate them, don't hate them. Don't hate them. Hate what they're doing. They're a potential kosher yid, and that's how you have to see them. And you have to orient your behavior in such a way so that they will never think that you are rejecting them, but it's just the behavior. And that takes some thought. There's another way of dealing with it, and that's the famous interpretation of the Chazon Ish. It's quoted here by the Tzitz Eliezer. We don't have time to read it. But what was the What was the logic of the Chazon Ish? Listen to this. This is the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish says, the only person you're allowed to hate is a Rasha. Someone who violates the Torah is called a Rasha. That's the person you're allowed to hate. Okay? What's the dictionary definition of a Rasha? In order for someone to, deserve the title of a Rasha, he has to do something wrong. That's not enough. He has to do something wrong and know it. He has to know he's doing something wrong. How is he going to know that he's doing something wrong? Because you're going to tell him. You're going to say to him, hey, you know, this is Shabbos. You're not allowed to do this. You're supposed to check the vegetables for the... Yeah, you know, maybe you didn't know how to do this. Now, if he rejects it and he says, I don't care, so he's a Rasha, and that's the Rasha you're allowed to eat. But the Chazon Ish comes up with... But the Chazon Ish says, he says, you know, today he says... Nobody, based on a Gemara and Erechin, he says no one knows how to rebuke today. No one knows how to tell anyone that they're wrong. It's so difficult. Ask yourself. I mean, how would you feel if someone wanted to tell you you were wrong? Can you hear it? Can you hear it without getting upset? So the Chazon Ish says, since today no one really knows how to go about telling someone that they're wrong and giving them tochacha rebuke, therefore no one technically can be a Rasha. If no one is a Rasha, then you're not allowed to hate them. Ladies, either approach, both of these approaches of the Chazon Ish and the Baal HaTanya tell us that just because, I'm repeating myself, just because you see someone doing something wrong, whether it's on a personal basis to you, or they're doing something against Hashem, even though technically you may be allowed to hate them, you need to remember what the Baal HaTanya said. Hate them and love them. Or what the Chazon Ish says, they're not Rishayim. Back off. Lachuf es Yitzro, control yourself. Don't let it come out. Don't let it express yourself. If this is, if what we said so far is correct in terms of understanding what sin aschinam is, then I'd like to know, why are we guilty of it? Why, remember the question we said at the beginning, why does it lead to such terrible, calamitous events such as the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? How do we connect the dots? Let's say I violate this. Let's say there was a person who... insulted me, and I decided I was going to tell him off. How dare you insult me? How dare you walk by me in shul? You never say hello. You never wish me good shot. You never invite me to your house for a kiddush. Let's say I do that. Okay. Look, is that the end of the world? Is that the end of the world? So let's see. Now, I want you to follow me. This is a... What is the worst possible sin aschinam, ladies? The worst possible example of sin aschinam. The worst. That's pretty bad. You know what the worst is? Hating yourself. Hating yourself, by definition, is sin aschinam. And I'll prove it to you. Okay? In last week's parsha, in the story of the Meraglim, which also, of course, is connected to Tisha B'Av, we have the expression, the Jewish people say, "Bisinas Hashem osanu otzionu mimitzrayim." Hashem hates our guts. He took us out of Egypt. We can't go into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem hates us? Is it possible that the Jewish people claim that Hashem hates us? So Rashi says, they really hated themselves. And once they hate themselves, they hated Hashem. Listen carefully. Why is hating yourself the primary example of sin aschinam? Because what does the Mishnah tell us? The Mishnah says, Chaviv Adam she'nivra b'tzelem. Every human being is precious, that we're created in the image of Hashem. We have a pure soul. You have no right to hate yourself. So therefore, if you hate yourself, what sort of hatred is it? It's sin aschinam. But you know what happens when you hate yourself? When you hate yourself, terrible things can happen. Chumash says, and the Chofetz Chaim says, you know what the first act of sin aschinam was in the Torah, the first example of sin aschinam in the Torah? What? When when Cain kills Hevel. What does the Torah say? Vayakom Cain, right? Cain got up and he kills Hevel. Why? The Torah doesn't give a reason. No, the Medrash discusses this. Why doesn't the Torah give a reason? Because there was no reason. There was no reason. It was sinas chinam. Before, we know the reason. HaKadosh Baruch says, Cain, why are you upset with yourself? Why are you upset with yourself? There's another way of saying that. When you're upset with yourself, you're what? You hate yourself. Sinas chinam begins when you direct it to yourself. When you dismiss yourself, when you think of yourself as a zero, that's where it begins. Because here's what happens. And this is something that Rabbi Avraham Twersky points out in so many of his books on self-esteem. When you hate yourself, in order to make yourself feel better, you may think you're a zero, but that person is a double zero, you know, and that person is zero squared, you know. I want to make myself feel better by putting somebody down. Who am I going to put down? Who am I going to address with sinas chinam? It just takes a little something. That person dresses like somebody that I don't like. I hate him. You know, that person doesn't say hello to me. I hate him. Why? I need to hate other people, even Hashem, b'sinas Hashem osanu, because I feel miserable about myself. And in order to relieve that sense of inferiority, what do? I put it on other people. This is how sinas chinam begins. Now, if this is how sinas chinam begins, then do you see where it can go? You see how far it can go? What happened with the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa? It was as simple. Okay, Bar Kamsa showed up. He shouldn't have showed up. I have here on the source sheet an interesting take that the Chassam Sofer has on that whole event, which, again, unfortunately, we can't go into. What was that about? So they dissed Bar Kamsa. And what does Bar Kamsa do? Not that he had a right to do it, but what does he do? He goes and he informs to the Roman government about the Jewish people and the Sofdog and the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Can that type of hatred bring about people to betray their people? Yes. I want to tell you a story. Josephus says, and this is almost a heartbreaking story. Josephus tells us that the Bayis Sheni, Vespasian was the general who was responsible for conquering Judea. And then, for a variety of reasons, he's called back to become the emperor of Rome. He leaves his son, Titus, to take over. Titus was young, a bit inexperienced, so he told one of his most trusted commanders, a person by the name of Tiberius Alexander, to stay with him and to make sure that Titus does the right thing and conquers Judea. Now, the Romans had a policy that even if they would conquer, they would never destroy houses of worship. They just wouldn't do it. Why? If I've defeated the people and destroyed their army, you know, I don't want to, so to say, mess with their gods. You know, we'll just leave the houses of worship. They're not a threat. Based on that, Titus did not, according to Josephus, did not want to burn down the Beis HaMikdash. He broke into the city, the armies were defeated, the soldiers were killed tragically. He didn't want to do it. According to Josephus, he called a conference after they broke through the walls. At that conference was Titus, two of his commanders, Tiberius Alexander was there. And we don't know the details of what happened in that conference, but you know the consequences. The Beis HaMikdash was burned. Historians want to claim, why did the Romans go against their policy? Because you know who this Tiberius Alexander was? He was a Jew from Alexandria. His father was very wealthy. He was a Jew. A Jew who turned against his people for a variety of reasons. And this historian wants to claim that he had to be the one to push Titus and the other advisors to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, even though that went against what the Romans did. That's what happens when sinah is unleashed. And people forgot about that Tosfos in Pesachim and the Gemara in Pesachim. They don't remember what the Baal HaTanya said. They ignored what the Chazon said.
Just because I have a technical reason to hate, therefore I'm going to let it out. And that's what they do. They hate themselves, and you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer because I don't like myself. That's the ideology of Sinas Chinam. I want to make one more point about it. So let's say you'll say to me, Rabbi, that's very nice, but you know, I don't do those things. I don't do those things. I would never do that. And I would venture to say everyone in this room would never do that. You know, you would never display what I would call active sinner. Active sinner. There are people that will do it. Like the story that I told you at the beginning, those two stories. Yeah, there are people that will do it, but most people won't. So again, we're coming back to the same question. So basically, Mikdash was destroyed. How do we understand it? So I want to tell you about something that the great Rav Yonason Eipshit says. He bases it on Chumash. Let me ask you something, ladies. When's the first time in the Torah you have the word sone? In what context? You know, the Rav Tzadok and the Vilna Gaon both say, if you want to have a clear understanding of a definition of a word, see where it's found first in the Torah. The word sone, you know where the first time that word is mentioned in the Torah? What? Nope. It's there, what? Leah. Vayar Hashem ki sunua Leah. Right? So, does it mean that Yaakov Avinu hated Leah? I mean, is that what it means? Can we say that about Yaakov Avinu? So there's a Ramban there. The Ramban says no. The word sunua, see, when we translate in English, we say this, the word sunua means hate. And hate is a strong word. You know, it's a word that's packed full with all sorts of powerful negative emotions. It says, but in Hebrew, the word sone doesn't have to, it's wrong. But it doesn't have to rise to the level where I hate and I scream and I yell. It says, no, you know what the snua is? So Ramban says, and he quotes the Radak here. The Ramban on that pasuk says, you know, she wasn't as important as Rachel. She was secondary to Rachel. Right? She was, you know, off to the side, peripheral to Rachel. Hashem saw that and he didn't like it. So she had children first. And what does she say when she has Levi? She says, maybe now my husband will escort me. What does it mean? Up until now, Yaakov was perhaps ignoring her. He didn't hate her. He didn't hit her, chas v'shalom. He didn't even curse her. He just ignored her. So what do you see from this? There's another type of hatred. Not just active sinas chinam, but there's something called passive sinas chinam. You know what passive sinas chinam means? It's how Yaakov treated Leah. I don't notice. I really didn't notice her. Rav Yonason Eipshit says, the Gemara at the end of Shabbos and Kuf Yutes says another reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Mipnei Shelo Hochichu Zed Zed. They didn't rebuke one person. What do you mean they didn't rebuke? They saw something wrong. Of course, you have to know how to rebuke. They ignored it. So you say, okay, so I ignored it. So that's sinas chinam? Yes. You know why it is? Because passive sinas chinam means that as far as I'm concerned, you're not important to me. I'm not going to talk to you. Remember the mission in Sanhedrin? 3 days in a row. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not interested in you. Lo ichpat li makore lach. It doesn't matter to me. Okay? Think about that. Think about how guilty we are from that perspective. The sinner, the way Ramban defines it. The passive sinner, where I just don't care about another person. I don't want to say hello to them. I'm not interested in greeting them. They don't exist as far as I'm concerned. Ladies, that is what I would humbly suggest is the sinas chinam that maybe you and I can relate to. We're not guilty of the big sin, the active sinas chinam, but the passive sinas chinam, we need to ask ourselves, how often do we ignore people? Do we just ignore them? Because we don't like them. We don't like them. So we ignore them. And when we ignore them, you know what happens? We don't care about them. And we don't care about them when they need something and when we can help them, They're off our radar screen. We're so insensitive that we just don't pick it up. And then they suffer. Oh, I didn't do anything. I didn't hit them. I didn't inform on them. Oh, but I did a lot. See, because I could have been in a position to help them if I only thought about them. But why should I think about them? I don't like them. Passive sinasina. That's something we have to address ourselves. How does that lead to the Churban HaBayis? So again, the sources are there, but so the Smag and others claim, if Hashem sees that we don't care about his children because we ignore them, right? And by ignoring them, who knows what can happen? Hashem says, you know, I'm not that interested in you either. Remember what we said at the beginning? How do we banish HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Yerushalayim? HaShem Ein B'tzion. We do it because, yes, there is the active Sinas Chinam for sure. But the passive Sinas Chinam, we're apathetic. Like Rav Yonah Sanaipshit says, we just don't care. I says, if you don't care about my children, you only care about yourself because of these petty hatreds that you have based upon the fact that you don't feel good about yourself, so my other children should suffer, I'm out of here. I'm gone. There's an interesting Gemara, you don't have it in front of you. Gemara says, pardon me, it's the Medrash Rab in Devarim. The Gemara says, Achav, we know, you know, Achav, who was married to Izevel, right? Izevel was not one of our favorite people, very unsavory type of person. Achav too, was considered an Obed Avodah Zarah, a terrible king. So the Medrash comments and says, all the wars that Achav fought, he said, he won. But the wars that Shaul fought, and even David, sometimes they would win, sometimes they wouldn't win. So the Medrash says, how come? David HaMelech was David HaMelech, and Shaul was compared to Achav. What's the comparison? So the Gemara says, because in the days of Achav, the Jews got along. There was no P-word. They were together. There was no Dibutarin. They didn't talk against each other. They weren't stabbing each other in the back, like the Gemara in Yuma says. So therefore, when they were together, Hashem was with them. Right? What does the Pasuk say? Yachad Shivtei Yisrael, Vayehi V'Yishurin Melech. When is God a Melech in Israel? Yachad Shivtei Yisrael, when all the Jewish people are Yachad. So in the days of Achav, they were Yachad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there, they win the wars. But, and this is the Medrash, so the Medrash says, but in the days of David, days of Shaul, we didn't get along, we couldn't get along with each other. There was Sinas Chinam. Oh, there's Sinas Chinam. Okay, Hashem says, fine, you're on your own. Sometimes they won, and sometimes they lost. What are we supposed to do about it? How do we handle Sinas Chinam? How do we handle it? So based upon what I said, I think you can draw the appropriate conclusions. Number one, each of us, it begins with ourselves. We have to stop hating ourselves. We have to stop thinking badly about it. So we have to recognize that each of us, doesn't matter how old or young we are, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a unique neshama, we have unique abilities. There are things that only you can do and no one else in the world, in the past, in the future, can ever do what you can do. And you need to pat yourself, talk about God, you need to pat yourself on the back and recognize that. If you feel good about yourself, then Sinas Chinam is cut off, it's just cut off at the roots. And if, let's say, it's hard to do that, we all experience feelings of inferiority from time to time, so then the Chafetz Chaim in that essay called Avas Yisrael that I mentioned, he says, just remember a few things. Remember, number one, to be done is kol adam lakaf zchus. Before you go about hating someone, give him the benefit of the doubt. Then he says, number two, he says, al tadin es chaverecha asher b'gim mekomo. Remember, you have to judge him in terms of where he's at and is in whatever his madrega is. He's a tinok shenishba. He doesn't know what he's doing. Hold back on your hatred. Don't be so quick to hate, even if legitimately you can find a reason, even if you can find a reason to do so. You know, you have to say,
You know what it is, lady? You have to say to yourself, it's beneath me. It's beneath me to hate somebody else. It's an omagiali. It's beneath me. Pasnish. It's not right for me to hate anybody else. And if you and you know, the Chafetz Chaim is big on just saying it again and again and again. He says, you know, just saying it once is not going to work. You have to repeat it again and again and again. And if there'll be times where, because you're so generous in your caring, that you will be hurt. Could it happen that sometimes someone will hurt you? Of course. Yeah. That's a risk that the Gedolim say we ought to take. Because the consequences of not taking it are much more severe. I wanna just conclude. We started late. I want to conclude with the following, with the following thought. I want to tell you what's in store for us if we can deal with this sin aschinam. And I've only given, I hope I was successful in giving you just something to think about. I want to tell you what the reward is. And this is, again, the sources are there. There's another type of sin aschinam in the world. You know what that sin aschinam is? There's a name for sin aschinam. You know what it's called? It's called anti-Semitism. What is anti-Semitism? Just think about it. What is anti-Semitism? It's Esav Sonei LeYaakov. Why? There is no reason why. The only reason people hate is because we're Jews. If you think about the current events of the last month, the flotilla and so on, we had the videos and we had the facts. And still, European governments are bashing us. I don't understand. It's right here. What's there to argue? Anti-Semitism is sinas chinam from the goyim against us. It's plain, it's sinas chinam. We have a principle in Yiddishkeit called mida keneged mida. How does it operate? Mida keneged mida says as follows. And this is the prayer. That if we, in our own community, in Israel, throughout the world, if we can deal with the sinas chinam within ourselves, if we can eradicate it, learn to control it, understand it, minimize it, make sure we're not guilty of especially the passive sinas chinam, then mida keneged mida, Kodesh Baruch Hu, look and remove the sinas chinam against us from the goyim. As long as we demonstrate, as long as we're acting sinas chinam among each other, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, so you deserve what you get. There's a Gemara about this. There's a Gemara in Shabbos of Lamed Beis that discusses this. A Rashi in Daniel. We don't have time to go into it. Trust me. But the converse is, we get rid of the sin asim among ourselves. HaKadosh Baruch says, okay. Leave the rest up to me. Leave the rest up to me. Ladies, we started off by saying that Tisha B'Av is a day of Avelus. We're mourning because we lost everything. We lost HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come back. We want him to come back. And that's what V'sechazenu Einenu B'shuvcha L'tzion B'rachamim. We want him to come back. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only going to come back if we make it easy for him. And we make it easy for him by dealing with this issue of sin aschina. They tell the story, and I will conclude. I just heard it the other day, just to indicate how much we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come back, that Rav Mordechai Eliyahu Zatzal, his son, tells the story that every Tisha B'Av, like last night, the Gabon would say it's time to daven Maariv, and he said, no, let's wait a little bit. And there, they noticed he would get up, he'd look outside, he'd come back, he said, time to daven, no, it's time to daven, we should wait a little bit. Finally, it was already pitch dark. And he finally turned to the Gabbai and with tears in his eyes, said, go ahead and doubt it. Mm-hmm. So his son asked him, well, what's this all about? So his son said, his father said, you know, until it was really dark, say it's Kolchavim for sure. He said, I was hoping maybe Mashiach would come. I kept looking out the window, maybe Mashiach would come. I don't do that. You know, I wish I did. Maybe Mashiach would come. That's how much he wanted it. He could taste it. Mashiach didn't come. have no choice. Less pereira, we have to sit down and say echa.
If we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu ladies to come back, right, and we really, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'noshuva, we want him to come back, just like Rav Mordechai Elio, like we all want him to come back. He says, this year, we sat and said echa. Mashiach didn't come. So what it's telling us is, ladies, we have our work cut out for us next year. Right? We have our work cut out for us. The agenda is, that our mission is, sinas chinam. Let's get rid of it. Let's deal with it. And if we can do that, the haftacha is that Hashem will do the rest.